So I listened to this other podcast that I really like. It's called 2020 Go to 10. It's another code. They named it after a code. And it's really cool. These two guys are like technical writers. Mm-hmm. And I really like their podcast. They have a really good take on the technical stuff. And I listen to them. And sometimes that they help me get these meanings of the computer code words. This is 102 FUD. Do you know what FUD is, Michelle?
I don't.
It's fear, uncertainty, and doubt.
Okay.
And this is the West Coast Project podcast for Halt and Catch Fire, season one. We're at episode two. My name is Mike.
And I'm Michelle.
Hi again, Michelle.
Hey, Mike.
So yeah, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. It's a strategy that computer manufacturers used to do to place doubt in the minds of consumers and scare them away from their competitors.
Oh.
And so these other guys I like at 20 Go to 10 podcast, I'm gonna try to reach those guys, write to them or something, because I really like their show. You should check it out. Maybe I'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah,
but they
definitely
tried to match the people of who is fear, who is uncertainty, and who is doubt among Cameron, Joe, and Gordon. Do you have any takes on that, Michelle?
Let's see. Cameron would have to be uncertainty. Gordon, doubt. I don't know, because Joe's not fear, is he?
Well, they actually said Joe is, these guys at the other podcast, they think Joe is fear because his plan's not happening the way he wanted. So he's fearful that his plan won't come through the way. And Gordon is uncertainty, because Gordon's the one always saying, we can't do that. You can't make half the price and twice the speed.
Well, that sounds like doubt more than uncertainty.
Well, and they call Cameron doubt. I mean, uncertainty and doubt are pretty similar adjectives.
Yeah.
So. But anyway, it was cool that they tried to attach the people into the FUD of this episode. So season one, episode two, the lawyers are now leaving. And actually, these guys at the other podcast thought that this might have been better in the first episode, the ending of the first episode where the lawyers leave.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but they also even show them grilling them and everything, too. They actually start this. I don't disagree. It almost felt like episode one maybe could have been like a double episode or something to get all this in. But before they leave, it even shows them doing the grill, and it shows Joe has really coached everyone really well. And everyone's doing a great job at their lies and their sticking to their story and everything, even with threat of jail and stuff. And they just brought Cameron on. She's this young girl, and they're threatened jail time. She's, you know, stuck alone in a room with attorneys, and they're threatening jail time for her, and she doesn't even flinch. The one who's having a problem with everything, ironically enough, is Boz. He doesn't like the lying, and he tells Joe as much. So.
Well, he's got a lot more to lose because he's a 20-year veteran of this company.
Yeah, but I think it says more than that, though. I think that says more about his character and his maturity and the fact that, because this kind of comes up again and again with Boz as we go along, is that he really does want to live more ethically. Like I said, as ironic as that is, based on what happens.
Well, he's a smart business manager. He, even though the trouble he gets in later kind of belies that, or betrays that, but he does want to do things the right business way, as far as people relating to each other in the right way, just to run the business.
Yeah,
smart way to run the business. So the lawyers end up leaving, and they successfully kind of persuade them that they are really doing what they want them to think that they're doing. They're developing this chip from scratch at Cardiff. And this is where we hear Joe say, here's what we need. We need it twice as fast and half the price. And I think I mistakenly, Michelle said half the size.
Oh.
We actually hear that later. He says the size factor. But yeah, half the price and twice the speed is what he says.
Yeah. And Gordon's just like, it can't happen. It can't happen. And then Cameron doesn't care. She's like, big deal. Who wants to do that?
Right, so that's why
it's not innovative enough for her. It's too innovative for Gordon, not innovative enough for her.
That's why I say Gordon, they might be right, these other guys, that Gordon is uncertainty. Like, that's impossible, and you can't make it half the size and twice the speed. And Cameron is, like, doubtful of what they're doing. Like, why are we working on this boring thing? We should be working on something else. So, I don't know. I think they might have something there when they pick that out of it.
Sure.
And then we meet Debbie. Debbie's kind of a throwaway character in The Office. She's the cute kind of first person you see at the office, the receptionist. I don't even know if she even plays anything into this show, but we meet her nonetheless. And we find out Donna is really a professional mom. She's a professional mom, and she can turn off the stove and have sex at the same time.
Well.
that's a skill not all girls have.
Okay.
We find out that Cameron is just mean to Donna and the kids. So she's hard scrabble. She's the perfect choice for this character, because that's why the lawyers didn't intimidate her. They might have intimidated her, but she stood up to it. She was thick-skinned enough to be kind of streetwise about them.
Well, yeah, she's not really intimidated by anything. She's not intimidated by the guys who literally throw her out of the arcade. She's not intimidated by... She just...
But I think she is intimidated. She just doesn't like to show it.
I don't know. She's, like, so reckless. She has these ideas, and they're just hers and the way it's going to be. We also see here, though, that Joe, when he's doing his motivational speeches and stuff, he says things. He's borrowing these quotes. He does the Steve Jobs quote, "We might just put a ding in the universe," and he doesn't credit it.
No, he didn't borrow it. He stole it. That's plagiarizing it. Yeah, a dent in the universe. Yeah, but I think Cameron is, and I think Joe too, they're very sensitive. They're overly sensitive to what people think of them, but they block it from people knowing that. Like Cameron needing to should I put the red sweater on, or should I, you know, wear this other? She wants to look right, but she doesn't want to have people know that she cares. When she first came into that office, she felt insecure. And I think Joe's very insecure too.
Well, we know Gordon's insecure.
So Joe gets introduced, and then that's where he gives that speech of Steve Jobs. Like, we're gonna make money. The computer's gonna make money. It's gonna be fast, and we're gonna put a dent in the universe. Straight from Steve Jobs.
Yeah, and he's talking about building tomorrow and all this, and we see Gordon with this new pep in his step as he leaves the office, and he's doing that sing in the car. You know that time when you're in the car and a song comes on and you just, you know, you're really into it because you feel good. And it's the first time they've shown Gordon like that. So that's why I was saying earlier, I think that Joe really has an effect on Gordon in a positive way. He brings out stuff in Gordon that Gordon maybe hadn't seen in a while.
Well, I think Gordon's pretty selfish because he gets this new office and he wants to show it off to Donna, his wife Donna, even though she's busy and she's taking care of kids. He's like, oh, well, bring them by the office. I just want you to see me in this cool new office I have. That's for him more than anyone else. It's a selfish thing.
Gordon is completely selfish. And I mean, and it, you know, doesn't end.
Well, you're saying that on the heels of watching 206.
I'm saying it on the heels of her having to get her babies up in the middle of the night and go pick him up in episode 1 from jail. He's selfish.
And he also doesn't reveal that Cameron is a girl.
Yeah, what was up with that? Why wouldn't he tell her that?
I don't know. I think maybe it's, I don't know, sexist maybe, that a girl knows technical stuff, but Donna knows a lot of technical stuff.
Yeah, I mean, she's not a visionary like Cameron, but she's smarter than Cameron. And why on earth he would... It just shows who he is, I think. And even though he feels bad about it and he catches himself and he tells her the truth before she confronts him about it, which I don't know, helps a little bit. It really shows who he is. It's just like, there's no reason for him not to tell her that I can see, other than the fact that he's lying.
So Cameron's really on her own. She's sleeping in the office in a clean room. She's really isolated from society.
Well, they try to keep her there. She won't stay there.
But she doesn't even have a place to go or a place to live. She sleeps in her office.
Yeah.
And then she goes on this shopping spree to find clothes, I think to fit in. You know, she hears from Debbie that there's a sale somewhere downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And then she shoplifts some stuff and gets connected by some guys who we think are going to arrest her for shoplifting.
Yeah.
But it's IBM. The IBM guys want to connect with her and kind of get in on this deal going on in Cardiff and maybe break it up or interfere with it or end it. And that's why those guys were there.
I thought they were they offered her a job, didn't they?
Yeah, well, yeah, that would end the deal at Cardiff.
Right.
Or trick her into getting a job, and then she would admit, like, you know, I wasn't really at Cardiff to do what I said I was doing. I'm whatever. But that doesn't work. So IBM ends up raiding all the Cardiff accounts, giving better deals to people so that they switch their business back from Cardiff over to IBM.
Yep.
Closing down on their accounts. So IBM is pretty ruthless, you know, and they're known as Big Blue, and they're the evil master of the universe as far as technology back then.
Yeah. Yeah, and this really upsets Gordon and everything, of course, because, I mean, Boz, but Gordon thought Joe had the answer to this. See, this is when Gordon's all happy earlier, and he's in his car, and he's singing, and he's, you know, really feeling empowered. But then he thought Joe would have the answers, and he finds out here that Joe doesn't.
Joe doesn't have a plan for this, and he always has a plan.
Right.
So that was disconcerting to Gordon.
But I don't think Joe even cared. I don't think he cared about the people in the office losing their jobs or nothing matters to him except what he wants to do. Nothing.
Well, that's how driven genius people are, and that's Steve Jobs too. That's him. So Gordon sees Cameron's basement notes and stuff, and he's really impressed with what she knows. She's really sharp. I mean, she has stuff in those notes that he didn't even ever think of.
Right.
So she's a prodigy. She's like a genius, like an innovator type software prodigy almost.
Yeah.
And it's really made apparent to us as the viewers. I thought that was really cool, him going down and looking at her notes on the wall.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Now, why do you think Joe went to the stereo store, Michelle? He sees a stereo store going out of business. I guess at this point we know Cardiff has 2 months' worth of money left before they go out of business. So Joe sees a stereo store going out of business, and he stops and goes in. Why do you think he did that?
I felt like he was in there to find out why. I think he's the why guy. He's not so much a computer genius or anything like that, but he is an ideas person, and he wanted to know why, what went on, and he comes to some kind of realization in there anyway.
He's a student of life. He learns, he goes and he investigates, and he learns motivations behind things that he sees in normal everyday life, which is actually very cool. And the guy at the stereo store says something like, I never saw it coming. And Joe is trying to see it coming. He's trying to see what to do for Cardiff to avoid it from happening. He's trying to see what's coming. He's trying to avoid what the stereo store had happened to them at Cardiff.
Right.
So he asks the salesman to sell to him, and this guy just does a crappy job. So it's pretty apparent why this store's going out of business. The guy's not a very effective salesman. They don't have very innovative stuff. It's nothing that anyone else doesn't have. Then Joe cranks the music and rattles this guy's card a little bit. But here's where he gets the idea for portability. A portable computer. A computer with a handle on it.
Was it there?
I don't know what he saw in that store, but it was something. Yeah, it was something that gave him the idea. Briefcase, maybe, or just picking up his briefcase.
Well, the IBM guy that came back and talked to him, I thought that was where he got that.
Maybe that was it. But yeah. So now the IBM guy comes after Joe, And we learn a little bit about Joe's father here. Joe's father is also IBM connected.
Right.
And we learned that Joe had damaged IBM by $2 million by letting water run into one of the technical rooms.
Right.
But it ended up meaning nothing to IBM. In fact, I think they say that they got more in insurance than the $2 million that was damaged.
Right.
So they actually profited by Joe's damaging behavior.
Yeah, and I think that was just a way of them saying, we're going to win, we're going to come out on top, no matter who does what to him, too. I didn't hear the water damage thing. I knew that he had created damage, but I didn't hear why. But they even come back and pay him his old vacation money. I mean, it's, you know, time for vacation. I mean, they give him a check for the time. It's just, I don't know. They were just trying to buy him back, get him not to do this.
Yeah, again, interrupt the Cardiff plan. Bust up the team or whatever. Just interrupt the way they had set it up and rock that boat.
And then as the guy gets up to walk out and closes his briefcase and everything, I think that's where Joe got the idea of the laptop.
Yeah, it's going to have a handle.
Yeah.
So he drives up into Cardiff. This was a little of an odd scene. He drives up to Cardiff at night, and Cameron and Gordon are there in the middle of the night in the middle of the parking lot, or maybe not in the middle of the night, but late at night.
Right.
Slides comes sliding in, power slides his Porsche in and meets them. And Gordon and him actually have a little bit of a struggle, and they pull up his shirt, and it reveals those scars on Joe.
Right.
And Joe gives a couple of lies about what those were, you know, from watching Sputnik. And everything's a big dramatic story to this guy.
Yeah, and he's like crying and telling the story. And it's a lie that Cameron knows.
And that was the NFL championship game, the greatest game ever played. But then he says we changed the world to fit our needs or what we need. We changed the world to match what we need. And we also learn that Gordon's article is what made him leave IBM. But this was a good episode, episode 2 of season 1, because now all their roles are kind of defined, and they're all in it together. They're all kind of set up. All the pieces are set up on the chess table, chessboard, and we know what they're going to do, and we know their purpose.
Well, right, and we also see where they accused Cameron of taking the IBM BIOS and giving it back to IBM.
Yeah,
Right, and she hadn't. She hadn't done that. So even though she was accused and everything, she hadn't done that.
Well, they're a team, but they're not a happy team, Michelle.
No, they're not. But I thought it was interesting how Joe was saying that. He felt like they needed that. And I think they needed something. I don't know if they needed Joe in his bulldozer kind of way, but he's certainly shook things up.
I think the story is a pretty good way of setting up as a three-legged stool. I wonder why Gordon's there, because Cameron could just do what he does. And I wonder why Cameron's there, because Joe could just do what she does. They each need each other as much as they offer. You know, they're all equally important to the structure of this, of not only the story, but of the development of this product that we see they're working on.
Yeah, that's interesting about, I hadn't thought about that, about Gordon and why would he be there? Do you think it was just because of the inspiration? So they've put him in there because it's not enough?
Gordon knows the hardware, Cameron knows the software, and Joe's the idea.
Oh, okay, you're right. Okay, you're right. Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, Joe's like Steve Jobs. He knows, he's technical, he knows some of the hardware and software, but he's not as prolific in it as the other two. And they're obviously nowhere, like Cameron could never do what Joe does as far as leading a crowd or talking our way through a situation. So they need each other.
Changing her shirt, right.
Yeah, they all three need each other.
Yeah.
So that's it for season 1, episode 2, FUD from West Coast Project, Halt and Catch Fire. Our internet presence is westcoastproject.com. We have all kinds of feeds for all kinds of podcasts. Michelle, what other podcasts do we do?
We do, I can't think of anything Fargo.
True Detective. Orange is the New Black. We do the modern version of Halt and Catch Fire. We have episodes from season two, of course, that are longer and more detailed as we go to kind of scene recaps.
Even Louie. We have a little of everything.
Yeah. So, to reach us, you can Twitter us. My Twitter is @scathingtweets. And what's yours, Michelle?
@MichelleFromTN.
Okay, so we'll filter these episode one recaps in, these short little recaps in, through the rest of our podcast season of season two. But that was it for 102, and next time we'll do 103.
Okay.
All right, till then, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.